Let's turn to 1 John and chapter 2, and I want to pick it up from verse 3, and we'll read to verse 17. In the meantime, let's have a read from 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 onwards. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, "I know him," but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to understand what we've just read today. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for speaking to us in the Scriptures. We want to know what it means to be your true children. Who are those who really belong to you? Would you help us to further see that this morning as we look at these words from 1 John? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I have a friend from my teenage days. His name is Grant. He is a pastor today. He's an excellent Bible teacher. A bit of water is needed. Grant is an excellent Bible teacher. His father is a pastor. Grant grew up in a loving Christian home, and Jesus was most certainly front and center of everything in that home. Well, his younger sister, Debbie, tells the story about how she went through this rebellious phase in her life, which included sneaking out late at night, out of the house, while everyone else in the house was asleep. She would sneak out and go and hang out with her friends that lived in the neighborhood. Well, one night, as she stealthily snuck back in to the house, Grant was up and he was waiting for her. And she got a big fright as he confronted her with these words, "Debbie, why are you hating Jesus?" And I think that's a great question. He could have said, "Debbie, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing these stupid things? Why are you so rebellious?" He could have said, "Debbie, why are you rebelling against mum and dad? This is just not what we are like as a family. What are you doing?" And I think all of those would have been fair rebukes and fair questions. But Grant went for the key issue, because Debbie claimed to be a Christian girl, and she was one and she still is one, but her behavior called her claim into question. Verse 3 says, "And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments." That word know here doesn't mean to know him in an academic sense with head knowledge. It means to be in a relationship with him. It means to know him in the sense that we love him. Now, those who truly love the Lord surely do not brazenly go about breaking his commandments. Yes, as I said last week, and I'll continue to say through the series, because John does say this in 1 John, yes, Christians do still struggle with sin. Christians do still make sinful choices along the way. But a settled disobedience is not the character of somebody who truly loves God. Instead, as we saw last week, there is a desire to obey him, and that is characteristic of a real child of God. There is a desire for holiness. And so when we do fail, and when we see our sin, sometimes much time can go by before we realize our sin, but when we see it as Christians, we will repent. And it will be a heartfelt repentance, a sincere repentance. Now, Debbie tells that story because this moment with her brother struck her to the heart. She was being a silly, immature teenager, but these words struck home to her Christian heart that loved the Lord Jesus. She did know him, and therefore she did want to obey him, and she felt truly rebuked. How do we know who God's real children are? John wants to show us through this entire letter, and here, this is how we know. He is telling us an aspect in verses 3 to 6 right now. The whole letter is about it, and by the time we have finished the series, you should have an understanding that there are three clear ways of seeing whether someone is really a Christian or not, whether you are really a child of God or not. Last week it was about holiness, that matters to us. And now John is moving into more evidence. If you want to know who really is a Christian, then listen to verses 3 to 6, and you will see as you absorb those verses that they are saying, it is those who keep God's commands. Verse 4 says that you are a liar if you claim to know him, claim to be in a relationship with him, but you don't do what he commands. Let's pick up this point by looking at the beginning of verse 5. It says, but whoever keeps his word, in him, truly, the love of God is perfected. The false teachers that were running around and confusing them, they were claiming to have a special relationship with God, and they said that they'd found this incredible, supernatural, super spiritual knowledge. And they were saying that that made them able to really connect with God. And so they are claiming to know God in a way that the church is being told you don't. And they claim to especially have the love of God in their lives. All of this through this mystical religious knowledge they claim to have. They are saying to all these churches that would receive John's letter, you are not truly connected to God. You are not truly his children unless you take on board what we have got to teach you. When he says, when John says that the love of God is perfected in some people, what he means is that a relationship with God is shown to be real in their living. See, John is saying to these false teachers through this letter, if you have this special relationship with God, if you really, really have his love in your lives, then we would see it in your keeping his word. See, I can say I know you, and I can say that you know me, and that we have this excellent relationship. But just saying means nothing. It means nothing, particularly if I go and live against you and the things that matter to you. It is only in my actions that my saying and my claiming is shown to be true. It is only then that my saying and my claiming is perfected, is shown to be real. Let me illustrate this. My dad would come home every evening and he would have a fresh, crisp newspaper in his hand. And he'd be looking forward, after changing and so on, to come and sit down and just for a moment to have a quiet read. The thing that drove him nuts was that when he would eventually come downstairs to have that quiet read, he'd find his paper all over the place because of us kids who wanted to have a read too, and we would get to it before him. And so he would find the main section on the coffee table. He would find the opinion section on the couch. He'd find the comics on the floor. And he would be very upset. He was very clear with us that we may read it first, but please put it back together in the way that he'd come in the door with it, the way the publishers had put it together in the first place. And we did not always listen to him. Maybe the phone rang or something else distracted us. Mum said, come and help me peel some potatoes. And so we would just sort of go and do that. And then he would come and find it like this, and he was very frustrated. Now imagine if we deliberately decided not to bother with what mattered to Dad. Imagine if we just couldn't have cared less about it. And then we just left it like it every single time, just scattered all over the lounge room. How would you respond to my claim then to be in a good and deep relationship with my father? You would shake your head and you would say, I don't think that such a relationship exists. John is saying that the false teachers don't really have the love of God. They don't really have a relationship with him because it's not seen by obedience that perfects the love they claim to have. You see, if I really know God, I will do what matters to him. Do you understand what John is getting at so far? Well, if it isn't clear, he now makes the same point, but from a different angle. And so the second part of verse 5 and into verse 6, he says, by this we may know that we are in him. So it's all relationship language. We are in him. Whoever says he abides in him. It's so close, that language, that you actually live in him. Whoever says that ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. If I love him, I will want to live my life according to his ways. Let me show you how this works from John's gospel. Just listen to these words. You don't need to turn there, but John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35. Jesus, talking to his disciples, said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So I need to love other Christians in the same selfless way that Jesus has loved me. That's what he says in his commandment. And what will that show? It will show that I am truly one of his disciples, that I am truly one of God's real children, that I'm truly in a relationship with the Lord. See how that fits with 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Those who are fakes will be shown to not really know the Lord because they won't live like this. They just won't follow the Lord's commands. Now, having established that those who truly know God obey his commands, John now moves on and he starts to talk about a specific command, and that's this command to love others. And so he talks about an old commandment and a new commandment. Let's see in verse 7. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. While he has been calling for general obedience, he is now getting specific, and it's the command to love other Christians. How do I know? Because from verse 9, he starts to get specific. Verse 9 says, whoever says he is in the light, like the false teachers are claiming all the time, we're in the light, we've gotten there, we've reached those heights, you need to listen to us. We are going to show you how to get there too. We're in the light. Well, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. And this concern to love other Christians is a regular topic in 1 John. and in John himself as he writes. We've just seen it in his gospel. We're going to see it a few weeks later in chapter 3 and verse 11, where he says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And in chapter 3 verse 23, "And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us." I can show you many more examples of this coming out of John. But the point I want you to get is this, that loving other believers is a message that this church, these churches, have heard again and again. They've heard it often. Clearly, it's a commandment that matters greatly to the Lord. And John calls it an old commandment in verse 7. Why does he call it an old commandment? Well, because loving your brother and sister is a basic feature of the preaching that they have been hearing right from the beginning. We even saw it when we looked at John chapter 13. It is not new. It is part of Gospel 101. It's the first year course, if you like. And so one would expect to see people who claim to be real Christians, who've come under the gospel, you'd expect to see them doing it. It's an old commandment. But then he says in verse 8, "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you." So which is it then? How can it be an old commandment and also a new commandment? Well, the command is not new in its contents. It's exactly the same commandment. It isn't as if it has been amended. It doesn't now say, yeah, you know, you've always heard old commandment, love one another. And now it's changed a bit. It's still the same, but it's also new. Love one another as long as you agree on things. There's been no change. The content has not changed. The commandment is new in the sense that it is now possible to keep it. Let's have a look at verse 8. "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." It is only in the gospel age that this kind of love is possible. This age where the power of Jesus has come in, and in his power he is pushing and has pushed the darkness of evil away. He's pushed it out. And he has led the way in showing extraordinary love. He has given his life for his enemies. That is extraordinary love. And he calls his followers to follow in the same way with the same kind of love. And so, dear friends, this commandment is only true in him and in you who follow him. Loving like this can't be done by any human being who does not truly know God. As I was saying last week, these false teachers that have crept into the church reject the teaching of the cross. They find the cross distasteful because they cannot stand that the Christ of heaven would enter a body, because to them the human body and anything physical is evil. And so they cannot have the Christ of heaven on a cross in a body. So the cross is gone for them. It's not important. It doesn't matter. They don't like it. And so if that's where they are at, they cannot recognize the incredible display of love that Jesus on the cross is. And so then they cannot love others in the same way. They know the commandment, all right, because they used to be in the church. And they would hear that commandment because it's there from the beginning. It's an old commandment. But that commandment is not new in and among them because it's not real among them. It cannot become active in their lives and be a real thing. John wants the church to see that these people who are causing them to wobble in their faith are fakes. They are not of the light. They do not have a special relationship with God. They have left the church, and therefore they couldn't care less about the body of God's precious people. And so they don't love them. They're on their own mission. They are puffed up and full of themselves. They do not love God's people. They have left. They've gone to start their own thing. And they're trying to tell God's people, come with us. Come with us. We've got the truth. Follow us. They are not Christian. It's as if John is saying, false teachers, you say that you know God, that you have this incredible relationship with Him, that you are in the light. This God of sacrificial love, you say that you're in the light. Verse 9, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. They are not in the light. They do not care about the children of God. And so the simple point that John is making over and over again is love your brothers and sisters. If you're really in fellowship with God, if you're really in the light, you will love other Christians. I was thinking about situations that I've come across in my time where false teachers have behaved badly. And I thought of one where a man, and I will name him, he's a false teacher, he needs to be named. A man called Benny Hinn. Comes out of the States and will teach power and miracles and prosperity and all that kind of thing. He will claim in one of his books that God speaks to him directly while he is shaving in the morning. God comes and stands next to him and he can talk to God while he is looking in the mirror. Well, a great Baptist Bible teacher called John MacArthur has written against that kind of thing. And John MacArthur says this, I remember Benny Hinn saying on TBN, which is a so-called Christian channel, they might play one or two things on there that are good and biblical, but much of it is not good. John says, I remember Benny Hinn saying on TBN one night about me that if he had his way, he'd take out his Holy Ghost machine gun and blow my brains out. Now that comes from somebody who's supposed to be a Christian, who's like the Lord Jesus, who loves sacrificially. That is so unlike Jesus. It is not the way that a true child of God behaves. Verse 11. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. John is saying, don't listen to them. They claim to have huge insight and understanding that will lead you to this great and true salvation and a real experience with God. But they are blind. And so he now turns to assure these precious Christians in all these churches that received the letter, to assure them that they are okay, that they really are God's children, and they must not be shaken by the false teachers. And so in verses 12 to 14, his main point is, be assured, you are okay. They explain why John is going to the trouble of outlining what a real Christian is. He wants them to know they're the real deal. And so he says in verse 12, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. You are okay. Your sins are forgiven. Keep on reading through, and you will see that John is confident that these people are the real deal. They are already the real deal. Verse 13, I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. When he talks about children and fathers and young men, it's his way of just talking about the entire church. Fathers, you know him who is from the beginning. The false teachers are saying, the one who is from the beginning, in other words, the Creator, the supreme being, we actually know him and you don't. You need our special knowledge. You need to come to the understanding we've got, and then you will know him. And John is saying, no, I'm writing to you fathers, to you in the church, the ordinary people of God, because you know him who is from the beginning. And in verse 13, I'm writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. And so he goes on. This letter is not meant to be a big stick that is telling us that we are not good enough and that we need to get our act together. This letter is all about assuring us that we are the real deal if we are trusting the Lord, trusting Jesus for salvation, and not the special teachings of the false teachers. And as I pointed out last time, it's not about being perfect, but it's about walking in the light. Walking means that we consciously want to live in the Lord. It doesn't mean perfect, as opposed to those who consciously walk in the darkness, who couldn't care less. They all puffed up and they've got this new way and they couldn't care less about God's ways. This letter is not a big stick. John chapter 1 and verse 9 tells me it's not a big stick. Be good to have a look at it. This is what is central about being a real child of God. The false teachers are running around saying, we've made it, we've hit the heights. We know the one from the beginning through our special knowledge and our special stuff. We're there. And therefore we are not sinful. We don't sin. But John wants to say this to the real Christian, and he says it in this part, that we still struggle with sin, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so it's not a big stick saying, you've got to be perfect. But it's saying that the false teachers, because of their settled disobedience, are not God's children. Don't follow them. Now, after assuring these brothers and sisters that they are real, which is what he does in verses 12 to 14, after assuring them that they are for real, he then says, do not love the world. Verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What is the motivation not to love the world and all of its ways? Is it that I might live a good enough life so that, I've done it, I've made it, I'll be right with God? No, not at all. What has he just said in verses 12 and 13 and 14? He's been saying you're already right with God. And so this command, this call not to love the world comes after saying you are already right with God. So what John is trying to say to them is be assured and do not love the world. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. So if they truly are in the Lord, as verses 12 to 14 say, then these verses, 15 to 17, are saying that ungodly living just doesn't match. The false teachers live like this in this bad way, and they want to lead you to also live like this. But this is not the kind of behavior that goes with who you are. And so what these verses are, 15, 16, and 17, is a clear attack on the false teachers and their system. John is saying, leave them. Do not listen to them. Their ways are not the ways of God. John is saying, who you are, if you're truly in Christ, if you truly abide in him, if you truly walk in the light, if you truly know him, it changes everything. And they haven't changed, so they cannot be truly in him. Some years ago, I had to counsel a young man who had a number of one-to-one friendships as a single man with a number of young women. And they would have all sorts of deep and meaningfuls. They would get together in coffee shops and he would be deeply involved in their lives, deep, deep friendships. But then he got engaged. And his fiancée was uncomfortable with these things, with these relationships. And he was a bit annoyed with her. But these are my friends, he said. And you want to stop me being friends with these girls in this way? Well, she didn't want to stop him, but she wanted those friendships to exist with her around in the context of them as a couple. And he couldn't deal with that. And I had to say to him, Kerry and I had to say, mate, who you are now is different to who you were then. You are heading to marriage. You are making an exclusive covenant to be with this woman. You belong to her now. And so you can't have the same deep and meaningfuls that you've been having with all the other women that you've been such good friends with. See, who you are has changed everything. False teachers, they claim to be so deeply connected to God, and yet there's no change. So if you want to know if a teacher or a leader, or anyone for that matter, is really a Christian, John says it is those who do the will of God, and in particular, who obey his command to love other Christians. So we saw last time, holiness matters to us. Today we see that loving other Christians matters to us. Those who have no love for other believers and no desire to repent of their failing to love others and other Christians and to make it right, people like that are to be questioned. A group of us met with a man from another denomination who had been treated appallingly by his local church and by his denomination. He was a pastor. As he was telling his story, he broke down. The man, well beyond middle age, he broke down and he wept. I don't know all the details of his story, but I do know enough from others to wonder whether these people that he has been serving among are truly Christian. Because from what I have seen and heard, they are lacking in loving a brother. John is writing to help us and to tell us who is real and who is not real so that we won't fall to false teachers. We don't want to fall under the spell of a false teacher. But surely his letter is a reminder to us as well that we should also seek to love other Christians. How quick we are to criticize, how quick we are to judge. We can be very quick to get annoyed because we don't like how someone else is doing something in our midst. Or we don't like the kinds of things that they have said. And then we easily rush off and we complain to other Christians in our church. And we gossip and we judge and we declare. But we are not quick to go to the person or to the people that we have a problem with directly. We're not quick to be gentle and to genuinely find out why they think that and why they are doing that and what are the reasons behind all that. And we don't even know the circumstances behind why they're doing what they're doing. Oh, we all do that. We all struggle with these things. I'll just put that out as one example. I struggle with that. We're just not perfect. Oh, we could discuss many ways in which we do not love as we ought. Well, whatever our areas are, this passage should motivate us to want to look at our lack of love and to consider where change is necessary. None of us is perfect, but if we're truly God's children, we will want to be loving. We will want to be right with Him, and therefore we will want to repent and make right. Not because this will then turn us into God's children, but because we are already God's children. We are already right with Him. And so loving other Christians matters to us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for all of us who are in this room this morning. I pray, Father, that you would help us never to fall to a false teacher. And to understand that those who are truly your children are those for whom holiness matters. So much so that when we see our failing, that we would repent. And that loving other Christians matters. Father, we pray that you would help us to be able to see who truly is yours so that we may never fall under the spell of a false teacher. Lord, we also ask, though, that you would help us, because we're not perfect, to see where we are not living as we should, and to be quick to repent. Thank you that we have 1 John 9 that calls on us to be a confessing people. Thank you that we can come to the cross with our sin. How we thank you for the table that we are about to come to now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins, sing for us. Christ will come.